Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, it is. We are keeping the seats warm for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He is Dan Beyer. Find him on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox, and me at George Reister. And we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. So much going on in sports. So many big names, big topics, all of this. But it is very important to pay attention to what the players say. And in basketball, nothing goes over worse than tampering. The commissioner doesn't like it. We've seen Magic Johnson fined last year with the Lakers. Well, 2 years ago with the Lakers and LeBron. They're handing out fines all over the place. And Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors was on TNT's Inside the NBA, and he made sure everybody knew that Devin Booker, star player and scorer for the Phoenix Suns, who they do not deserve, needs to be somewhere else playing meaningful games all the time. And here's what Draymond had to say.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck. But they got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
I love this, Dan. Loved it so much because Draymond is not afraid to step in landmines at any point in time. But he was careful enough not to say you can come to Golden State. You should come play with me. He just said you should go. You deserve better. Like, isn't that the ultimate like hater comment to like say, listen, your man, he's not treating you right. You need to go somewhere else. Somebody who appreciates you. I bet you I can find somebody who does.
This is the crazy thing about what Draymond was saying. Well, there are 900 crazy things about what he said tonight. And this may just be one of them, and there may be two of them here. First of all, the Suns didn't even play on Friday night. So, like, they played on Thursday. So there were six games going on, but these Phoenix Suns popped up into the conversation enough for Draymond Green to voice his displeasure that Devin Booker is remaining in Phoenix and how he wants him out, as we heard in the soundbite. But what is also pretty amazing is that Devin Booker also signed a $158 million extension with the Phoenix Suns that will keep him through the 23-24 season in Phoenix. So it's not like Devin Booker is going to hit free agency, join the Golden State Warriors, and then they can start their new run to the NBA title.
No, it's actually easier for them to get him now because then they can trade for his bird rights. It's the details, man. It is the details. They are going to swap him out for like Wiggins or somebody and get an upgrade. But I've said this
No, I'm not going to let you. I have a better chance to be acquired by the Golden State Warriors than Devin Booker does. There's no way that Phoenix,
didn't think that KD was going there either.
This is the point, though. Like, if he has just signed an extension with the Suns, he's literally in the first year of the 5-year extension. The Suns actually made the bubble. So there's something to build on. Monty Williams has done a decent job in taking in trying to lead that franchise back to respectability. Draymond Green's got a problem.
They just sold their G League team. It's Robert Sarver, the owner, that's the problem. They have Daniel Snyder essentially owning the team. He's a saboteur. I'm not going to say that there's all sorts of impropriety going on in the Suns like there was in the Washington football team, but it is just – but they're owned by a professional saboteur of the team, and people in Phoenix do not like him, and there's a reason why.
Yeah, and Draymond Green doesn't like him. Draymond Green was calling out the organization in October when they played a preseason game because Marquese Chris – was now a member of Golden State, and Draymond went and said a bunch of things, some of which I can't say on the air, even though we're in the slide over baby hour here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. But Draymond Green also must have this issue with Robert Sarver personally, because this is the second time within 10 months that he's come out and taken shots at the Phoenix Suns organization, which, again, by the way, was just out of nowhere. But there's no way Phoenix would trade him, and even if they did, one of the last teams they would trade him, the Lakers would be the last team they traded him to. The second to last team they traded him to would be the Golden State Warriors. Would not happen. Not going to happen. And I know that Draymond wasn't saying he's going to Golden State, but there's no way that could happen.
He deserves better, which makes sense. He does. I've said it that the Phoenix Suns do not deserve Devin Booker. He just hit the game winner against the Clippers the other night.
Yeah.
He scored 71 points. I mean, the dude's a baller. And he just never plays any meaningful games. It just doesn't happen. And it's to no fault of his own. He is out there doing everything he possibly can. He can't make DeAndre Ayton stay healthy. He can't make the team draft better. He can't make any of these things happen. He's just responsible for his own work, and this team is not going to make the playoffs again. They're going to only win maximum 32 games. I know that there is a shortened season, but it's like you're just swinging in the wind, dude. You're just swinging in the wind, and he's going to play 10 years of – he's going to do the opposite of J.J. Redick, where J.J. Redick, after 14 or 15 years, is going to miss the playoffs for the first time in his career. If he stays in – if Devin Booker stays in Phoenix, he will be the opposite. He will get to the playoffs maybe one time, maybe twice.
They're a game and a half back of Portland for that 9 spot right now, and I know games are running out in the bubble, but – Phoenix has won 4 in a row, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. What I think is maybe even more interesting in all of this, it's not even the Devin Booker angle, George. It's the Draymond Green angle of Draymond talking again. Remember, this is a Warriors team that is not in the bubble, so he's able to be on the set of, you know, the NBA on TNT and make those comments. And you know, I've had a variety of different feelings about the Golden State Warriors during my days, George, for the simple fact of, because I was never a Bulls fan, so I wanted them to break the 72 win mark, which Golden State did. And then I immediately turned on Golden State because I felt everybody was jumping on their bandwagon. But isn't it funny, you know, that Draymond Green, they're wondering if he's tampering or not, and then he says maybe. That Draymond Green was the one who seemingly drove Kevin Durant out of town. It wasn't necessarily the amount of shots that Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant had to split between each other, although I think that there was maybe one of the reasons why Kevin Durant left. But realistically, it was also the Draymond Green factor. And so for Draymond Green to go and sit there and say, yeah, we want Devin Booker out, not to say like he should come to Golden State, but it's like, all right, well, you just had Kevin Durant in your team and you ran him out of town. Now you're trying to take another guy and maybe bring him in. That's just
no,
that,
he's
that's
a man of the
Draymond.
People. No, he's just a man of the people. He's like free Draymond. I'm sorry, free Devin.
Free Devin.
Free Devin. He should have showed up on the set with a free Devin Booker T-shirt on. I mean, because it doesn't really matter where he goes. You know, the only worse place that he could go than Phoenix right now is probably the Knicks or Charlotte, maybe.
Even if that's the case, though, George, now guess what happens the next time the Phoenix Suns have a media availability? Devin Booker, on a Zoom call or however they're going to interview him, is going to be asked about the Suns organization. Is he glad that he signed his $158 million extension at this team?
Yes, because he's getting $158 million. Sure. That's why.
But all Draymond did was put the spotlight on himself for a night on TNT to say that. Also make the Suns organization look bad, which, you know, that's his prerogative. But realistically, now he's put a target on Devin Booker to have to answer questions about this. Who doesn't care?
He's Draymond Green.
I know,
Draymond
and that's
Green.
The problem.
He doesn't care.
Now the Suns
are a game and a half. Don't give a you know what.
I know he doesn't.
The Honey Badger don't give a you know.
Yeah, that's why Kevin Durant's in Brooklyn now. You know, I mean.
He's in Brooklyn for other reasons. He just wanted to be. Like, that was a convenient excuse to leave. He just wanted to be somewhere else. He wanted to go hang out with Kyrie. He got the legacy that he wanted because he got two championships, two finals MVPs. Like, he got what he came for. And now he can move on. He doesn't have to win another championship. And he can be where he wants to be. That's what it was. He used him.
You know, Draymond Green is a heck of a basketball player, but he just made life for Devin Booker more difficult. You're a game and a half out of the playoffs.
Well,
spot.
Sorry, you're making $158 million, and you have to answer some questions.
What's the point of saying
play
something
the smallest
like
violin
that?
In the world?
But what's the point? Like, it only benefits Draymond. Because
I tweeted it, and people got upset with me. Not quite as mad at the Kyle Lowry because they agree with me there. I can't say that Draymond did anything wrong because I did the same thing before Draymond did it.
But the only person who benefits in him saying that is Draymond Green. That's the only person.
Draymond Green is trying to take Charles Barkley's job when he retires.
well, that's going to be for another.
This is clear.
10 years
he's
and
Chuck polarizing.
Won't be able to stay up until after 11 in 10 years. So that's.
He's polarizing. He says something. He's smart, a little bit controversial. I mean, what more do he knows basketball? He's a champion. He's got all the qualifications to take Chuck's job, and he even gets in fights with Chuck. This is like perfect.
Well,
I mean, I don't know what else you want the man to do. He went up there and did exactly what he was supposed to do on the set. He delivered
at the expense of Devin Booker. That's just the issue. That's, you know, the issue that I have. And again, it's not even realistic. Yeah, I mean, it's. You know, he might as well say LeBron James needs to get out of L.A. because
Stop. No, because if Devin Booker is fed up, as we've seen, though, I mean, Dan, though, haven't we seen this with NBA guys? When they're fed up with being in a place, they will just pick up and say, you know what? I'm out. I'm not playing
perfect.
Here anymore.
Perfect. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen it. But guess what? Devin Booker is 2 years away from that. From that point, like we see, like with Anthony Davis, it wasn't that Anthony Davis was hitting free agency. Remember, Anthony Davis was 18 months removed from free agency. It was the decision on whether he wanted to sign the Supermax or not that really was going to end his tenure in New Orleans. If he wasn't going to sign the deal, then they're likely going to have to trade him. And guess what they ended up doing? We're still 2 years away from that point in Devin Booker to be like, okay, do you want to be in Phoenix after 2024? Like those sort of conversations are going to be popping up. We're 2 years from that. Now we're going to be talking about, you know, him maybe leaving for a super team. Listen, as a Bucks fan and having to hear people make up fake stories on reasons why Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to leave and have been doing so for the last 12 months, it's going to get really old in Phoenix just because Draymond Green brings up something that is not substantiated by anything, and it's not even realistic that a deal could get done. There's that. Man, got me worked up.
Clearly. And we are going to, in just a few minutes, we're going to have to ask our friend and Vegas insider, Todd Furman, about this. You can find him on FS1's Fox Bet as well. We are going to have plenty of questions for him about the NFL. about golf and about all the bets that you may be making. Blue Emo, maximum pain relief, works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinking, there's no stinging, and there's no burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu maximum pain relief works fast and you won't stink.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
It is Fox Sports.
Should we do it in harmony? Should I?
Hey, Mario got us going.
This is the Mario remix featuring George and Dan. That's what it is. Oh, man. Jason Smith Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. I don't know. Are we both base? I would think if that was the case. Get George on Twitter at George Reister. I'm on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. It's I can't sing worth a lick, so I'm no good with that.
I'm a fantastic singer.
Well,
in
I'm
my,
sure you are.
In my mind.
Okay.
My wife. Sometimes I'll be singing around the house. She'll say, "What note is that?" And I'm saying, "Listen, baby, it says make a joyful noise." So that's what I do. I mean, like, singing is about your soul. It is about your heart and some sort of expression. Like, it's not supposed to be good all the time.
I wish some people would learn that lesson, by the way. They need to know that maybe, you know, singing can't be good all the time. There are some people that shouldn't sing. Let's be real. Come on, George. Maybe your wife's onto something.
We are coming to you live. Oh, wait, no. No,
yeah,
actually.
No, we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. We love Geico. Geico's awesome. We also love Todd Furman. Hope to check in with the co-founder of the Bet the Board podcast. You can see him on Fox Bet Live. The great thing when Todd Furman joins the show is George, when we have guests on, it's kind of like sometimes you play the role of an attorney where you know the answer, but you're going to ask the question anyway. You know what the answer is going to be because you want to get it out there and you want the topic to be talked about. I would say 90% of the time when I speak with Todd Furman and I'm filling in for Jason Smith or Mike Harmon, I'm literally asking questions that I have no idea about. Todd Furman joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. You do know that, Todd, that when I talk to you, I don't know the answers. I'm literally just asking questions that I have no idea what the answers are, and you seemingly always have an answer to the question. So I really appreciate that.
More than I can say when I'm usually on with Harmon Smith, because I don't think Smith even understands the questions he's asking, let alone the answers I'm going to give them before they come out of his mouth, unless they're related to the Mets, Syracuse Athletics in some capacity, or of course his beloved Tim Tebow.
Oh, well, I want to start with baseball. I'm not going to start with the Mets, though, but how much is this Marlins-Cardinals situation messing with Vegas at all? I mean, like, are we seeing a lot of changes? I have no idea on how many games the Cardinals are going to be able to play and in how many days, but how is this affecting what's happening with Major League Baseball in Las Vegas with the Marlins not playing their games? They're back at it now, but now with the Cardinals shutdowns.
There's no doubt it's created all sorts of added headaches, especially when you look at season-long bets, knowing that this season was going to be shortened anyways to 60 games. So if you bet an over-under win total on either of those teams, you were going to need to play at least 58 games in some books or the full 60 at others. Now, I think a lot of people a little bit surprised with the Marlins' hot start. You could put myself in that group as well because I never imagined they'd have one of the best records in baseball. But the other unique caveat is books are accustomed to adjusting on the fly, but now having to set over-unders for seven-inning games, change run line math, and a lot of other subtle nuances, this baseball season, more than any I can ever remember, has really taxed the mathematical capabilities of bookmakers far and wide.
How are the potential for all of these double hitters at the end of the season? Like, you have the Cardinals, who may end up having to play 55 games in 49 days, if that is even humanly possible. How does that factor into it?
it's going to change how you're going to handicap the Cardinals night in, night out. And George, hopefully your right and left arm are ready to go, because there's a chance the Cardinals may need to try and bring you out of their bullpen to eat up some of those innings. And you have to give Major League, you have to give Major League Baseball at least a little bit of credit, knowing that this was going to be a possibility, that there were going to be a ton of doubleheaders. Shortening the games, I think, will pay dividends, because now at least if a starter goes six strong, you only have to worry about one potential reliever instead of having to go relievers by committee. But there's no doubt that if you're in that Cardinals clubhouse or you're in the Marlins locker room trying to do the math and shoehorn this many games in, you better make sure you're clicking on all cylinders, you're getting your rest. And in the case of the Marlins, you're not going to adult establishments. In the case of the Cardinals, you're not spending time in casinos when you're on the road.
Quick question for George, by the way, before I get to my next question for Todd. George, if you were to come out of the Cardinals bullpen, what size would your fitted hat be?
7 5/8.
Ooh, interesting.
7 5/8.
All right.
And I'm coming out throwing gas, too. I can't wait till I get a chance to throw a first pitch. I think that Todd Furman, if there's ever a line on whether I'm going to do what 50 Cent or Dr. Fauci did, make sure that you put your money on me throwing at least 80 down the pipe, buddy.
Man.
You know what, George? I can appreciate that. Remember, though, there's a 3-batter minimum, so we don't want you to throw your arm out on the first pitch. You're going to have to pace yourself. At least to throw, you know, at best case scenario, 3 pitches if you can retire all the batters on just 1 pitch apiece.
I'd have gas on another sort, but we won't go there. I do want to ask you about the NBA. Come on, that was funny, guys. It was a joke.
It was weird.
Oh, come on. It's early Saturday morning on the East Coast. They're loving it. With the NBA, George and I have talked about this a lot. With the whole bubble situation, you look like a team like, you know, I don't know what's going on with the Pelicans. We know what's going on with the Wizards, and their season's going to end soon. How much does motivation and just the drain of a bubble, is that a possibility to affect lines and how things are going in Vegas, just of maybe teams just wanting this to be over? Is that affecting anything?
Oh, it plays a huge role. And even for teams that have aspirations of winning a championship, I mean, we can look at the Lakers. I think right now their focus should be entirely on making sure that LeBron James is capable of playing 35 to 40 minutes or whatever will be asked for him as the stakes get ratcheted up. And you're going to see a lot of these teams work on their rotations, cut down minutes for some of the superstars, the same way that you would have seen at the end of the regular season with the wear and tear of travel, knowing seeding was already a formality. And so when you look at some of these teams and you're handicapping these games, there's no doubt you want to try and figure out which teams want to be there. In the case of the Western Conference, which teams are playing well, because I think the Phoenix Suns have been a pleasant surprise, a young team who can use this maybe as a springboard, not to get into the playoffs this year, but for next season with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, who they're looking to build around. Or in the case of other teams who, like you mentioned, the Wizards, who, let's not kid ourselves, the Wizards probably shouldn't have even been invited to the bubble at this point. They just needed to have another team from the Eastern Conference to kind of round out the schedule. And once Bradley Beal and Davis Bertans shut it down, you knew that this team was going to be hard-pressed to compete most times that they hit the floor.
With the handicapping, so I'm going to ask you some percentages. What is the percentage chance the NFL and college football start, and what is the chance that they finish?
Well, given the fact that, George, that my livelihood depends on at least one of them finishing, you're not getting an unbiased opinion in any capacity here. So we can start with the NFL. I think there's a 100% chance we see football that opening weekend. Now, what that's ultimately going to look like remains anyone's guess. How sloppy that level of play will be, I think it's something that we haven't grown accustomed to, knowing that you at least had the preseason games to work out the kinks. Now, if we're talking about probability that we get the full 17 weeks of the regular season, the Super Bowl goes off without a hitch, I'm going to be optimistic and say that there's about a 65 to 70% chance we're able to execute all of that. College football is where I can't quite be the glass half full guy. I think we're flirting with disaster with a lot of these programs, pushing back start times. Conference only scheduling, I think, was a step in the right direction. But to try and get 18 to 21 year old men to focus just on playing football and not get themselves into trouble or potentially compromise the health and safety of their teammates remains a massive ask. I would say if you're looking at the 5 power conferences, I'd set the over-under at 1.5 leagues that are able to complete their full regular season schedules.
Is it going to be easier or more difficult to bet? Todd Furman, by the way, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Byer, sitting in for Jason and Mike. Because they're going to conference-only schedules, is it going to be easier or more difficult for people to bet on college football, meaning to win on college football, I should say?
You know, I never want to say easier because the gambling gods have a funny way of trying to strike me down whenever I say I have this craft figured out, as we witnessed earlier tonight, sitting on an under 5.5 ticket between the Blue Jackets and Maple Leafs, where they scored 4 goals in, I don't know, a little over 3.5 minutes. But I digress. When you look at the college football schedule, I think the level of familiarity teams within the conference have make it a little bit easier to try and wrap your head around it from a handicapping standpoint and also the bookmaking side. The real challenges that they're going to come in are when numbers are set on Sunday, you'll typically see professionals trying to get the best of the number, knowing that what they see going in, things really aren't going to change during the week. We know that's not going to be the case this fall. There's a very good chance that high-impact players on both sides for all programs are going to be impacted, and we've already seen a number of what we would thought were Heisman hopefuls opting out of the season, whether it's Rashad Bateman at Minnesota, Rondale Moore, kind of the human highlight film at Purdue, Gregory Rousseau at Miami, and Micah Parsons at Penn State. I think this is going to continue, and so it's going to be so important for bookmakers and handicappers alike to make sure they know the value of all the individual players when they are on the field and, more importantly, when they're not.
Last question, Todd. Hey, I want to go back to the NBA for a second. I'm a guy who does not believe that James Harden can win a championship playing the way he does with the defense and the effort on offense when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. He doesn't participate. Does that factor into the bookmaking when you're like, this guy just cannot win? I mean, and how do they feel about Houston right now?
You know, Houston's an interesting team because I think when you look at the Western Conference, everyone wants to talk about the Lakers and Clippers, but the Rockets probably have that most boom and bust potential. I mean, those guys get hot from the outside. They have a chance to beat anybody on a given night. But when you talk about doing that to win a best-of-seven series against elite defensive teams, I tend to echo those same sentiments that Harden can't make the big shots, even with his running mate Russell Westbrook, to get them over the hump. But that hasn't stopped people from taking shots. I mean, you could have found the Rockets at about 20-1 when these seeding games got underway. There were a couple books out here in the desert that have taken pretty substantial wagers, driving that number as low as 12-1 at places like Fox Bet. But the big question is, if you aren't making shots from the outside, do the Rockets have other tools in their arsenal that are capable of winning games? Because we know they're not going to get second chance points, and we know defensive rebounding is something that Coach D'Antoni's team isn't exactly adept at doing since they traded Clint Capella.
Okay, before I got one last one, and then we can wrap this up. Todd, is there any way we could ever get betting lines on beat Bobby Flay? If, you know, like
we can always set numbers. The reality of it is, though, to try and bet that in a regulated jurisdiction, that remains a lot more challenging. But some of my friends in the offshore world, hey, they haven't shied away from anything. Okay. And they've even gone so far to set numbers on all the competitive eating challenges they're staging themselves. Because as you gentlemen know, degenerate bettors know no boundaries. And if they feel they can find an edge, they'll bet a cockroach race in my backyard right now if they feel they can get good odds.
You are right about that. He's Todd Furman, Vegas insider and the lead actor on FS1's Fox Bet Live. Appreciate you coming in and joining us today, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Well, all right, you too. This is the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, featuring today Dan Beyer and me, George Reister. But the question that we want to ask you is who is the greatest of all time in baseball? Is it the kid or is it the new kid on the block?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Wrapping up the Slat Over Baby Hour here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. He's George Reister. I'm Dan Beyer. Don't worry, George. I have no idea what it means either. But, nobody has told me. Alex, can you even tell us what it means?
Dan, the thing about Slat Over Baby Hour is you just know what Slat Over Baby Hour is.
All right.
It's like Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
That's,
you just know what it is.
It's fair enough. Fair enough. So there is some news as we wrap up this show heading into the weekend. The Los Angeles Rams have a wide receiver duo in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods that are one of the best duos in the National Football League, or one of the top duos. And Cooper Kupp's going to be entering his final year of his contract. And Robert Woods, who is under contract for a couple more years, apparently wants a little bit more money. So the point of this exercise, George, is to wrap up the show this way. I'm going to give you wide receiver duos in the NFL, and you tell me if you had to pick one, because the Rams may end up having to pick one when it's all said and done. You have to pick one. Are you ready to do this?
Okie dokie.
All right, let's start with the Rams. If you were Jared Goff as your quarterback and you could only have Cooper Kupp, you could only have Robert Woods, who do you want?
I'm taking Robert Woods, because Cooper Kupp was hurt last year, and the best ability in sports is availability. So you're not good to me if you're not available.
Interesting. All right, let's go to what some people feel, and I think that this is pretty safe to say. What's the best wide receiver combo in the National Football League? Mike Evans or Chris Godwin with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? If you could pick one, who would you select?
Mike Evans. Oh, easy work. Chris Godwin had a good season, but part of that is because Mike Evans is 6'5 and takes two people with him, so it makes it a lot easier, and you can't double team two wide receivers, especially when you got Cameron Braid and
O.J. Howard,
you know, and O.J. Howard not catching passes, but at least he's fast. So taking up space too. So yeah, give me the distraction.
Okay. All right. Now, Keenan Allen had some words for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, or Chris Goodwin, as he put in the tweet. We're going to move to the Chargers. Keenan Allen or Mike Williams?
Keenan Allen.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, he doesn't have any hair, but he can't grow hair, but he can run routes.
Well, he just used the, you know, Mike Evans size sort of thing, so thought maybe you would side, you know, maybe Mike Williams had a chance for you there. What about this with the Dallas Cowboys? Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, or the rookie CeeDee Lamb? Little threesome here on the Slide Over Baby Hour. You can only pick one. Cooper, Gallup, or Lamb?
I am taking Amari Cooper, because he was a clear game changer for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboy offense. That's a big addition. He's not a top three or five wide out in the league, but he is definitely impactful.
All right, I got two more for you. Cleveland Browns, Odell Beckham Jr., or Jarvis Landry?
Odell Beckham Jr., dude.
I don't think it's that obvious.
Jarvis Landry is a good quality possession wide receiver. He is like Anquan Boldin later on in his career. You know, they'll catch a lot of five. They'll at the end of the game, he'll finish with like 9 catches for 45 yards, 10 catches for 53 yards. That's who Juice is right now.
All right, final one. The Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins or Larry Fitzgerald?
Are we talking career achievement awards or right now? If we're talking career, give me Larry Fitzgerald. If we're talking about right now, give me Hopkins. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is old and long in the tooth, and he just doesn't have what he used to have. He is Anquan Boldin in the later years, too.
All right, just like you're going to send the audio clip of me saying Adrian Peterson will never catch Emmett Smith, I'm going to send this to Larry Fitzgerald.
He knows it.
Give you calling him old. George, it's been fun.
He was considering retirement.
Let's do it again Sunday. This has been the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harvin. Talk to you later.